here's a story from The World.
Code Red for Humanity. Translation, there is little time to act to save the planet for future generations. That is the clear and urgent message in the latest United Nations report released this week on climate change. But what is the way forward? Climate scientist William Mumaugh has some ideas. He was a lead author of five previous climate change reports from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He's also a professor emeritus at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Bill, we know we have to act and fast. Parts of the world are literally going up in flames. California, Greece, Siberia. I mean, how do you understand this moment in time we're living through?
It's unfortunately the outcome that those of us who have been working on this for a very long time, I began in 1988, have feared and knew was coming if we didn't act. It's come a lot faster than we thought because it's very difficult to anticipate and quantify the amplifying feedbacks that occur once warming starts.
So what exactly would effective change look like? I mean, should each and every one of us be scrutinizing all the purchases we make and deciding when to start the car up? Or is that just a moot point right now, given the need for profound structural change?
I don't think it's a conflict between two things. I think it's very much all of the above. We need to act individually because we are the consumers who are purchasing the devices that are causing the emissions. Obviously, corporations need to provide us with vehicles we need and with the solar panels we need and the home insulation that we need. And we have to work in a coordinated manner as a society, both in the United States and between the United States and the rest of the world. So all the levels matter.
The messaging around climate that has put the burden on individuals to do things like bike more, take shorter showers, switch out your incandescent bulbs, has that been wrongheaded?
It's only wrongheaded if it's been seen as a substitute for societal action, for government action, for our entire economy to take action on its own.
What has been the missing element so far to really jumpstart action on this crisis? I mean, what is the holdup?
The holdup is that we've had a huge amount of false information and interference by many corporations who see their business model as being threatened. And we have an electoral system in which it's kind of pay to play. And so many people in government are doing the bidding of the interests that support their campaigns. And so we need to deal with that as well.
A lot of analysts point to late-stage capitalism, the constant making, shipping, and buying of goods at an international scale, and corporate boards seeing growth as the only metric. How do you address that?
That's a tough one to address, but it does need to be addressed. You know, free trade for the sake of free trade became the mantra, regardless of how damaging it was to human rights, how damaging it was to climate, how damaging it was to people's health. If you prioritize something as simplistic as something I can count, like the growth in the GDP, as opposed to the quality of life and people's well-being, we're going to have this kind of a problem. Maybe this will jolt people into rethinking how we measure success as a society.
A guest on our program yesterday, author Daniel Sherrell, said a big part of the problem is generational. He accused some policymakers in the baby boomer generation of sleepwalking through the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. Does understanding this as a generational problem help us at all?
Well, it does in a sense. I mean, I've been immensely impressed with the energy of the youth and the Greta Thunbergs of this world. The second thing is we focus too narrowly. For example, we see this as a technological problem with only technological solutions. So yes, solar panels, electric vehicles, those are technological solutions. They are necessary. But there's a part of the report that is, I think, being overlooked. It points out that not only are these the highest levels we've seen in 800,000 years and all that stuff that we've all known for a long time, it points out something that only a few of us have been paying attention to, which is in 6 decades, the annual atmospheric increase in carbon dioxide from all sources has been just 44% of what we add. In any other terms, that would be a miracle. Hmm. Where is it going? Well, 56% of what we, or an amount equal to 56%, is removed every year from the atmosphere by forests, by wetlands, and by oceans. And the largest of those is forests. And yet we are degrading our forests all over the world. Even Canada's managed forests have become a source instead of a sink. The Amazon, much of it has become a source instead of a sink. And we just keep on destroying the very systems that are saving us from really a true descent into Hades here. we could do a lot more in the United States. It's not just the Amazon. We in the United States could be doing much more to protect the forests that are growing and absorbing the most carbon dioxide and accumulating it out of the atmosphere.
Well, the Biden administration says combating climate change is central to its agenda, and yet the U.S. has long been the outlier among Western nations with its inaction on climate. Do you think that's really changing now?
I do think it is. I think the Biden administration is making a very best effort at this point. I wish it were more aggressive than it is, but it's certainly off to a dramatic shift from even the most progressive actions of past administrations. Nothing comes close to what is being done here. And yet, I think I'd have to say it's certainly not enough.
White House officials are already curbing expectations about the green parts of the infrastructure package that goes to the Senate today. Some things like roads and bridges could be acted upon quickly, but we also hear that we may not see the more green initiatives like electric vehicle charging stations until many years down the road. So given that this IPCC report came out yesterday, just as a thought exercise, how would you reimagine the allocation of resources to better address what's in the report?
You know, there is no technological option that can come close to be removing 56% of what we're emitting other than natural systems. So we need to up our focus on natural systems. We also need to up our focus on the technologies that will reduce our emissions from energy and from other activities. And also, it's mentioned almost in passing, which I think is a shortcoming of the report, that beyond carbon dioxide, which is only responsible for maybe right now, maybe every year about 60% of the warming, there's another 40% coming from other gases. And so those need to be addressed as well.
What are some of those other sources of gas?
The one that gets the most attention, because it's the second largest after carbon dioxide, is methane. And the methane is 90%+ of natural gas. It's released from many aspects of agriculture and
livestock.
Livestock, particularly, yes. And so those need to be addressed as well.
Climate scientist William Mumaw was a lead author of five previous UN climate change reports. He's a professor emeritus at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Bill, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.